Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship in the ministry of bbfohio.com and our expository study of the Gospel of Luke. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, send those by email to bbfohio@protonmail.com. Or you can mail your letter along with any check or money order contributions to support this ministry to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Donations can also be made at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button. We now begin this expository study of the Gospel of Luke. This is part one of two.
I just keep you on your toes, Johnny.
Current events update. Brought to you by Bible Believers Fellowship. That's my radio voice. For those of you who didn't know that, I have a face for radio. I also have a voice for radio. Thanksgiving is coming up. I spelled it wrong. Thanksgiving. I see nothing. Yes. Yes, that's what Democrats would call a computer glitch. But I have a little humor far and above my spelling mistakes. In this little reminder, I want to play for you.
Ah, Thanksgiving, a holiday steeped in good old-fashioned American tradition. First celebrated in 1621, Thanksgiving was created by the Pilgrims, a brave group of separatists who fled England in search of religious freedom.
Hear ye, thou must choose it, my way or the highway.
Whoa, we are so out of here. The group boarded a ship called the Mayflower and sailed off to the foreboding continent of America.
Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Just about. Only 67 more days to go.
On December 11th, after two straight months of sickness and stormy seas, they finally landed in the New World.
Roy, I call this land Plymouth.
Yes, and look at that rock. Let's call that rock Plymouth Rock.
And so the colony began, a brave group of vagabonds worshipping freely in America. But the fun didn't end there. After a brutal winter, it became evident that the Pilgrims had overlooked a few key survival essentials.
Dear God, worshipping freely is really great and all, but in our haste it seems we have overlooked the fact that we're not very good farmers. We are in need of your provision.
And provide he did, in the form of an English-educated Indian named Squanto.
I have tons of great skills. Bow hunting skills, fishing skills, farming skills. I pretty much have every skill necessary for a transatlantic colonization.
Soon, with the help of Squanto and other peaceful Indians, the Pilgrims were able to establish a sustainable colony.
Wow, us Pilgrims have sure been able to establish a sustainable colony.
Yes, and if you would please turn your attention to Exhibit A, you will note the bountiful amount of corn. Tribal flavin!
In light of the abundance of their harvest, they decided to hold a feast in celebration of God's provision. They called it
Thanksgiving Day!
Oh, this is going to be fun. We'll have games for the kids and all sorts of delicious tidbits to share with the Indians. Oh, and here's an idea. Let's take all the bread and stuff inside the turkey, cook it that way. We'll call that stuffing.
And so goes the story of Thanksgiving. Of course, over time, the holiday has evolved as communities and families have each developed their own traditions and celebrations.
Cousin Jethro says the best way to cook the turkey's on the radiator.
Yeah, it's sort of baked already by the sun on account of we use roadkill.
But regardless of how the holiday is celebrated, it is important to remember that at its origin, Thanksgiving was dedicated to God out of gratefulness for His protection and provision. A day set apart to prompt us to consider the many ways in which we have all been blessed.
See, at Bible Believers Fellowship, we consider ourselves not just a local church, but a center of edumacation. I like that. So one turkey said to the other, "What are you thankful for?" And he said, "Vegetarians." But But believers in Jesus Christ have plenty to be thankful for.
Amen.
Even in the worst of political situations or even in the midst of financial difficulties and such, we have plenty to be thankful for. For starters, we're saved from eternal hell.
Amen.
And that really ices the cake. But this life is temporary, but heaven is forever.
Forever.
Amen. So whatever you're going through in this life, you can always say, this is only a test. If this had been an actual emergency. In the meantime, the Bible says in Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Now, the false teaching out there among some Christians is that this only refers to the people who are in power. And that's not true unless you're in a dictatorship. Even a monarchy, the king is not an absolute power. So you have to look at whatever system of government you're in and look at the powers established. In America, the supreme power is the Constitution. It's the law and power in these United States of America. And so, of course, we start with, you know, I'll quote Peter in a moment right there. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. So as Christians, we start with whatever law our government establishes. Is it against God's law? And if so, we ignore it.
That's right.
Then, if the Constitution itself, not being against God's law, establishes certain facts and guidelines, the rule of law, which not only includes the federal system of a three-tier government, executive, legislative, and judicial, and it goes into specifics about how they are to represent the people and how they're elected and how they can be impeached and all that sort of thing. But then you have this little thing added to it, amendments. And the first 10 were the Bill of Rights. And they are the God-ordained power in this country over the people who are elected to serve. Keep in mind, every one of these people take an oath to uphold and protect that Constitution. So anytime an elected official goes against that Constitution, you are obligated to ignore them. Now, there might be a situation where they got a gun to your head, and you'd be well advised to go ahead and let them take you in, and then you get representation, and then you in the court of law, that's when those things can be thrown out if what they're doing is unconstitutional. But there does come a time where you simply resist. And if you think that is terrible, well, then you must hate this country, because our country began with a little thing called the Revolution, where the people resisted King George, who was saying, my way or the highway. I don't know if that's a direct quote, but that was basically what he was saying. Now, this is how people are responding to these unconstitutional
who killed
attempts.
Clients died because they lost their livelihood.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I know you are, and I'm asking for you to have that sense of passion for the people that have lost their livelihood.
You have a passion for people.
Okay, well, you have a passion on the car lot. This is private property. This is private property. This is private property. It's private property. So
I know.
Listen, man. This is private property. They're not monitored. So do your job.
Well, his job is...
Well, no, your job is to remove people that are not monitored. We're monitored. They're not.
You have a passion.
I'm not.
Don't worry about my house. My house isn't your concern.
Meant to be right now.
Okay, well, then write me up.
It's the law.
Okay, then take me to jail.
Then
take me to jail.
Show me the law.
That's the right answer. Show me the law.
You have to leave. You have to leave.
This is another. They won't tell you.
Yeah, it's an honest, right? It's an honest. Every you need to know where
you need to know where you need to go. Now, these are health department officials trying to shut down a business because of these COVID regulations or orders. Those orders are unconstitutional.
Is that in Ohio?
No. But they are asking the right questions. They are saying, show me the law. And they're asking, who reported me? You're supposed to be able to face your accusers. This thing is operating like the Nazi Gestapo. Or is Gestapo the right word? That's the Russians, isn't it?
No.
It's a mix. Huh? It is. Okay, I had it right. I doubted myself in my self-education. So the Nazi Gestapo operated like that. Then they would go to whoever, and it wasn't just the Jews, but whether it was a Jew or whoever it was, the gypsies or whoever, they would come and get them and take them in, and they would say somebody reported them. They would never be able to face their accusers, and they were being arrested for what's called orders. Well, folks, there's nothing in the Constitution about orders. You have law. And this is where you're going to have to make a choice if you're a businessman or as a pastor. We're making that choice. If they show up, we're not going to put up an armed resistance, but we're going to demand that they show us the law and they obey the law themselves. And if we're arrested and taken in, then, you know, we'll get representation. We'll do what we have to do, and then we will sue them. Yeah, we don't, obviously we won't have time to go into this here, but the Bible teaches self-defense. You have a right to defend yourself. If a thief comes into your house and you fight them off and you kill them in the process, there's no charges there. You have a right to defend your property. That's why socialism is unbiblical. We have a right to private property. Huh? Well, that's not biblical. He's asking biblically. And so, and the castle doctrine represents the biblical concept. So you have a right to defend yourself and your property. And that, if it's a crook, it doesn't matter whether he has a badge or a health department badge or whatever. If they're, like he said, this is private property, you're not welcome. So you have a right to resist. And if you choose to, I always tell everybody, if you choose to make an armed resistance in a certain situation, that's, you know, if you really believe in your conscience, that's what you ought to do. Just be prepared for the consequences. You could still die. Yeah. You could still get your family killed. So be very careful. That's a last resort. But if it came to what they were doing in Russia and places like that, you better believe I would. And I'm not allowing my family to go off to a camp to be abused and everything. It just ain't going to happen. Yeah.
Your Second Amendment thing, though, explained about that if the government's doing something that's not...
Yeah, he was asking biblically.
Okay, you can get back in and get your, you know...
Yeah, the Second Amendment is your... the Bill of Rights is your right to resist unlawful dictates and such. And biblically, you have a right to self-defense. And we're actually going to look at also Jesus commanded you to be armed. Do you know that?
Yeah.
It's not a suggestion. And a lot of Christians take it as a suggestion. It's a commandment. And, you know, if you want to follow Jesus, you obey. Amen?
Yeah.
We'll come to that in our study. But I want to close with this. The end times, the last days are described in Daniel 11:32. It says, "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." It's a time where people have an opportunity to shine, courage. And we're in the last days, and we must demonstrate thanksgiving. by being willing to sacrifice. An unthankful people let the government take away their property, their families, because they're not really thankful and they don't have real gratitude for what God's blessed them with. So, with that positive message from our family to yours, happy Thanksgiving. And we pray that the SWAT team does not show up at your house to bust up your family gatherings.
Amen.
What can you believe this? I mean, it'd be something if I was up here talking about this out of just, you know, hypothetically speaking. It is not hypothetical. The governors of Oregon and New York and California and Michigan and Illinois and all these places are threatening to arrest your family if you have more than a handful of people at your Thanksgiving. And I believe it's time to resist this liberal tyranny. Yeah, John?
This past week, the governor of Oregon.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, with lightweights, if you've got more than five people, you can not only be fined, but you will be arrested, put in jail, but, and the disease had 30 days.
Mm-hmm. Wisconsin now has a mandate that you're not even allowed to socialize in public, not even to talk to anyone. You will be fined $1,000, 90 days in jail.
No.
And upon threat of doing so, you can be fined $25,000.
Yes. Where is that at?
That's in Wisconsin.
Wow. That's why it's just hard for me to believe that free people purposely elect these tyrants. And that's why I will never believe Joe Biden was elected. I will never believe that. They may get by with it, but I'll never buy it. I'll never believe it. And I think he's pedophilic anyway. I've seen videos where he's putting little girls' hands, back of their hands on his crotch. Go look it up. The people who voted for Joe Biden need to be held accountable for the scumbag they voted for. You have put him at the head of our government. There is video of that man molesting little girls. It's not made up. I watched it with my own eyes in the White House during swearing-in ceremonies. It's disgusting. Every news media person in this country that is a Democrat operative, you need to understand, those people are scum. And they want the death of your country, and they want the end of your personal liberties, and they hate Jesus Christ, they hate the Bible, and they hate you.
That's right.
Yeah, Johnny?
So, those jails that would be putting people in are properly social distance, right?
Yeah. That's where what numbers are inflated. It's in prisons and nursing homes right now. It's not in the general public, so it's a big problem. I want to end it with that. I really did want to end it with a happy Thanksgiving greeting. And you have a happy Thanksgiving with your family and ignore the idiots. There is a real, just like the flu. If you have symptoms, then use your brain and stay away from people. If you don't have any symptoms, then, you know, go about your life. Just use your brains. Really, what I'm trying to emphasize is think. Happy Thanksgiving. By the way, I do want to say on for the onliner crowd, happy birthday to Sister Charmaine. And I never tell a woman's age, but I will tell you she's younger than me. I'm going to tell you something. But no. So beginning in verse 1, Luke 9, verses 1 through 6, and I'm going to ask you to read the even verses, so I'll begin with verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. God's people say amen.
Amen.
As right on cue, as they departed, Ezra demonstrated departing. So we're reading an example of the words of Jesus. If you have a red letter Bible there, three verses there in red, that means that these are the words of Jesus in the text. But I do want to remind you that Jesus is God, and His Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. The words of God came through the moving of the Holy Spirit, which then led the men to write His words. Therefore, according to Jesus, Revelation, or from Genesis to Revelation, are the words of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So keep that in mind. When you see the red letters, it is specifying the words He spoke when He was on earth. But all the words of God in the Bible are the words of Jesus. Now, this text in particular tells you, if you read it carefully, that it's written for you, not to you. And that's, you never understand the Bible if you don't get that. There are many texts, many times, where what you're reading is for our edification. But the words themselves are not written to you.
All right. I like that scene.
Yeah, I like to wake you guys up every once in a while. Mission possible in this case. Mission possible. I wouldn't be surprised if some of the new versions say, and Jesus said, and your mission if you choose to receive it. But didn't actually say that. So verse 1 there, we begin when He called the 12 disciples together. That's right there your cue that you need to be careful with what you're reading, because He's speaking specifically to the 12 disciples. And He gave who?
Them
power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Despite what a lot of the TV preachers will tell you, God has never given you and I power over all devils and to cure diseases. Now, we do have an amount of power in the fact that we are born again, we are saved, washed by the blood of Jesus. And listen, the devil is not omnipresent. He can only be at one place at one time, but he has an unknown number of devils who are working with him. And they are basically operating on a level of insanity, and they just want to kill, steal, and destroy. But if you are a Christian today, a devil can only get into you and into your life if you let them.
Amen.
And you say, well, who in their right mind would do that? No. People who indulge in the occult, or in drug abuse, or drunkenness, or any state of altered mind, you are opening yourself up to the devil. People meditate on Satan. It's called modern music and entertainment.
Yep.
And they want to pretend they're not, but they are. They're meditating on Satan. And they're opening themselves up to oppression, and yes, even possession. The argument against Christians ever being devil possessed, they say, well, you have the Holy Spirit in you, and the Holy Spirit would not dwell with an unclean spirit. He does by being in you. You still have a sinful nature, and He's in you. So that argument is unbiblical. The thing to do is to not open yourself up to possession. To not allow oppression by putting people and things around you that Satan will use to bring you down. But in this case, we're talking about 12 men that Jesus specifically gave power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And so, as we have pointed out, did He give all believers this power? The answer is no. So now you have that basic understanding as we continue. Keep in mind that this is historically accurate information you're reading here, and it helps us to understand the narrative. So you say, why is it in the Bible? Get over yourself. Not everything's for you or to you in every case. You know, everybody operates with me, me, me. What's this got to, what, this isn't for me? Well, then I don't care. That's how people operate. Listen, it's for you to understand what happened in the life of Christ. The main point of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is to tell you what happened from the time that Jesus was born to the time he was resurrected, and all points in between, how he fulfilled messianic prophecy given in the Old Testament, proving that he is Messiah.
Amen.
And to tell you about what led up to his crucifixion, and that he truly is risen. He did conquer death. He is alive.
Amen.
And that's why when he ascended, he promised to return, and he's kept every other promise, and so we know he's going to keep that one.
Mm-hmm.
He, John 14, he said, I shall come again.
Amen.
And you better believe he will.
Amen.
But these are not instructions given to you and I in this dispensation. It's not go and do likewise. These are instructions given to the 12. It wasn't even given to all the Christians at that time. Only to the 12. So then verse 2 says, and he sent them. All right, stop there. Who's them? Verse 2. And he sent them. Who's them?
The 12.
To preach what? No. See, that's the point. That's the point right there. To preach what?
The kingdom of God.
And to?
Heal the sick.
See, that's not your mission.
Amen.
You are not to go out on the street today and start preaching the kingdom of God. You're not. The kingdom of God first was offered to the Jews as a nation. God's not offering the kingdom of God to the United States of America as a nation. What is he offering? He's offering to individuals salvation through the blood of Christ. That's why you preach what's on the wall back there in the corner. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that he rose again. I skipped the line. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel of this dispensation. The gospel of the kingdom. It doesn't even call it the gospel. It says, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God. Now, you know who I, as a pastor, preach the kingdom of God to? Believers. If you're saved, you're a believer, then you need to know about your home. You need to know, God's given you information about the future. But until you're saved, that's really information that is none of your biz. Until you're saved, you need to be saved. So we preach the gospel of the grace of God, which is, as I read, 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4 spells it out. It's repeated in other terms throughout the epistles. And we are not given power to heal the sick. And there's always these guys, well, I believe I am. I believe I have the power. You know, they always get really, what's that? How is something about being real emotional seems to stir them up and think that gives them the power. But you know what they never will take me up on is the offer to prove it.
Yeah.
They never will when I tell, all right, I've got gas in my car. I'm ready to go. Let's go down to Children's Hospital. Heal the sick, brother. Let's see it. Empty out the burn unit first. First place you want to go is the burn unit at Children's Hospital. Let's see you in action. You know what they always then? Oh well, the person has to believe, and yet all these other things come out. Why? Because they don't have the power to heal the sick. That's how they can then blame you. They can blame you. They can blame the kids in the burn unit. The kids in the burn unit don't have enough faith. See? That's what it is. It's a scam. So this is a dispensational truth. The gospel of the kingdom is not our gospel message today. We teach about the kingdom of God to believers after they have been saved. It's not our gospel. But after the death, burial, and resurrection, that became our gospel. All these people say, oh, Abraham and the people who lived in the Old Testament, they were saved by looking forward to the cross.